This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Good evening, we're broadcasting from Vectis Radio on 104.6 FM. You can also hear us on vectisradio.com as well as the TuneIn Radio app. Podcasts will be available on your preferred podcast source later this evening. You're listening to Vectis Movies, where we discuss the latest films that hit our big screens. You can find our Twitter page, Vectis Movies, and share your thoughts. On tonight's show, we will discuss a nice range of films. We've got The Spy Who Dumped Me, Equalizer 2, Alpha, and Lewis and the Aliens. I'm Zeb, and accompanying me is Sharon.
Hello.
And Sean.
Hiya.
Have you had a good week?
Yes, thank you. Back to work, and it's not been too hot. So as a gardener, that's always a good thing. When it's a bit cloudy, a little bit overcast, and you can sweat, but not because it's so hot, but because you're just working hard. So yeah, it's been a good week, and we got to go to the cinema.
We did get to go to the cinema, yeah. We went to the cinema together.
Yes. First time in ages.
First time for a long time, yeah. It's been making it more regular, I think.
Yes, we're trying to, get to see this. I'd like to get to at least one film a week, if not two. And some weeks it's just harder than others, isn't it?
The thing is, what I think it is, Sharon, is sometimes the times are odd, aren't they? There's some odd times with certain films. Films you want to see, but they're on at the most strangest times or times that you just can't.
Yeah, because there's one film that you caught this week, Alpha, that I really wanted to see. I thought it looked really intriguing film. And I looked at the times, the midweek times, and there's 2D and 3D, and I don't really do 3D. It just makes me feel a bit queasy. And the last 2D showing was at 3:20. Now, who on earth is even at school? How could you get there if you're even at, not there? I know it's sort of summer holidays, but if you're working, who on earth can get to the cinema at 3:20?
That's it. It's an odd time.
And that was the last 2D showing of the day. Mm. And it's a 15 film. So it's like, who's the audience going to, which, you know, of the target audience is actually going to be able to physically go and see this film? And I wasn't free on Saturday, so the only day when I physically could have made it, I couldn't because I had other commitments. So it was just really frustrating.
Well,
yeah, it was really frustrating. But I know it's been a busy week at the cinema, hasn't it? Because when I looked through the list of films, there's something like 11 or 12 films currently showing at cinema. So we've got plenty of choice, which is excellent. But you want to be able to see them.
Yeah, and it kind of goes like one week there's nothing. And then all of a sudden there's, like you say, 11 out. And then
And you just can't get to see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really tricky. But I know we shouldn't grumble because, you know, well, Sean, and you and I, we grew up with one cinema, one film, wasn't it, per week? So, and on the island, I know we had a couple, there was a few films around, for cinemas around the island when I was growing up. But latterly, when I was in my teens, it was like Newport. There was one in the High Street, Newport, Studio One or Picture Dome. And Lake used to have that little independent one at Lake. And then there was the Commodore at Ryde.
Yeah.
Because growing up, there was one at Ventnor.
Yeah.
And the Rex.
Rex, yeah.
A vendor near the pier, and I'm trying to think if there was one. I think there was one at Sandown, but I don't remember where. But you know, so we had a lot of choice. But it basically one cinema showed one film, and if it's a really popular film, they all showed the same one during the same week. So you only ever had the choice of one film to see. So it is good that now we've got a choice of 11 films to see.
Yeah.
That you know that we probably wouldn't have before, so we shouldn't really grumble. But I did a bit.
Yeah.
So why don't we discuss with what you've seen?
This week I did go and see with Sean and a friend Gemma. We went to see The Spy Who Dumped Me. Obviously, playing on words, The Spy Who Loved Me, The Spy Who Did All This Other Stuff from that sort of Bond thing. And so it's basically a modern day sort of espionage thing where these two ordinary friends in America, one of them, her ex-boyfriend just happened to turn out to be a special agent who's got concealing secrets, and so he's got some information, and they are inadvertently sort of dragged in to this sort of chaos where they, unbeknownst to them, they're in possession of a piece of intelligence that the rest of the world wants, both the intelligence services and the bad guys, and they're all trying to get it, and these are the only two people standing between, you know, evil dominating the world and the end of life as we know it. And there's just these two sort of hapless women who end up starting off in America and then going to, in very short order, to Vienna, the Netherlands, Austria,
London,
Berlin. Did they go to London?
Did they go to, I think they went to London. No, did they not?
They go to Paris. They go all over the place. Berlin,
I think
Austria.
They might, no, I'm sure they go to London. But unless I'm thinking of another one, it's because you see the Tower Bridge or was that? But it might be my imagination. Just
it you
was.
See
it was one of those
films.
It was one of those films like that didn't really.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And in too many ways, I thought the film was all over the place as well. I mean, I'm trying to think of what was good about it. And
it was okay. I thought the character that we say the play on words with James Bond. I'm sure same name as me, Sean. I think his name was yeah. one of the secret agents, and he was doing his eyebrows. That if you've seen the Roger Moore James, it's not my favourite, but
no,
with the eyebrows,
doing the eyebrows
and the eyebrows, you know. I remember, you know, give me windscreen wipers. Roger, give me windscreen wipers, because his eyebrows were going...
Yeah, was that Spitting Image?
That was Spitting Image, yeah. Remember that? That was a great show. Great show. So
they did sort of touch on the thing. And early on in the film, you know, the main characters are played by Mia Kunis and Kate McKinnon. Is it Kate McKinnon?
Yeah, I didn't really know Kate McKinnon.
And the two sort of special agency types are Justin Theroux and Sam Heughan. Is it Hugh? I've forgotten his name now.
I don't know. I didn't really recognise him.
Anyway, people would know Mila Kunis because she's in lots of films. They'd know Kate McKinnon if they watch Saturday Night Live. And
Bad Mums, is it?
Bad Mums, yes. Mia Kunis is in Bad Mums as well. And yeah, Kate McKinnon is a regular on Saturday Night Live. Justin Theroux was in a television series that ran for 3 seasons called The Leftovers that ran on Sky that I was really into. And Sam Heughan, I think his name is. I think that's how you say it. He's in Outlander. He's he's a tall, rugged Scot, but he plays an Englishman in this film. But he plays a tall, rugged Scot in Outlander as well. So they are people who are known through television and film. And so I think they all sort of do their bit well.
Yeah.
It's just I didn't particularly like any of them.
No, I must be honest. I guess it was they weren't really convincing, but no. Maybe that was the movie. None of them convinced. And especially the boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, the first boyfriend, Justin, he just was through, like totally. And I mean, the few bits of action in it were very much sort of John Wick-y.
Yes,
and,
lots of bullets flying everywhere.
Bullets flying.
No one cares if there's any bystanders about. They start blazing away.
That's right.
In public places, when there's like people walking around, it's just like, yeah, let's just blaze away, because obviously no one's going to get hurt, and the bad guys are going to go down with one shot and one. And it just to me, I've just got a bit fed up with it.
So many plot holes. Yeah, I mean, I have seen worse when it comes to comedies. I have seen worse. But on the whole, it was. I mean, I try to make allowances because it's a comedy film, but it was so many plot holes. I mean, he's got like a busted arm, and it's like,
you're going to have 3 months off in rehabilitation, and his arm is in a sling, and then he has to. Then the next scene, literally, it's the next day. They're walking into a nightclub in a tux, and then he's sort of holding a gun and shooting people, and it's like, hang on a minute, I thought you had to have 3 months off work because your arm's busted up.
It was a bit
quite disappointed now because I saw the trailers.
Yeah, we were going to see it, weren't we?
I was quite excited about it, and all the buses were.
Yeah, I think I think had it been like an hour sort of comedy sketch thing, it would have been fine. But for me, at sort of close to 2 hours, to me it just went on for too long, and they were just like dragging a thin plot to its sort of, you know, the thinnest of thinnest lines, really. I think one of them, Mia Kunis, was just, you know, shouty and sweary. And Kate McKinnon, she was basically just wearing one bizarre outfit after another. And at one point they say, you know, she got really upset because someone said to her, you know what, you're a bit much. And that was the thoughts sort of going through my head. I just thought, I think that's fair criticism. You are a bit much. And there's some sort of really crazy out there scenes, and you just think they've just taken the joke and they've just run with it just too far.
It is a hard one to do now, isn't it? All this espionage and things, because it has been done so much.
And it's
so
self-parodying anyway. It is quite ridiculous in its basis, isn't it? You know, like of James Bond, you know, he's a special agent who's known by it to every barman in the world. And you know that it is self,
and
know.
I think that's it. Every single spy film will mention James Bond in some way, and very few actually successfully pull it off.
You're right, they don't. They just. The one I think was genuinely funny, and but again, it had its lame moments, was Spy with Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, I saw that. Was that Tom Hardy?
That was Jason Statham.
Oh, Jason Statham. There is a spy film with Tom Hardy, isn't it? Where. And someone else, but perhaps that's
he was in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that one because I think that is that's your proper spy movie.
Yeah, that's
that
a one, proper Cold War
that's a terrific
drama.
Terrific movie. No, I'm pretty sure there's one where the girlfriend. There's a girlfriend.
Yes, there is.
Do you know the one I mean?
Where and it's got Chris Pine in it.
Chris Pine. Oh, perhaps I'm
and no, Tom Hardy and Chris Pine.
Yeah, because they're sort of rivals.
Is it Reese Witherspoon?
For the girlfriend. Yeah,
they're both
rivals.
Going out with her. Yeah,
so right.
They're like CIA agents or something.
Well, yeah,
one's
CIA, I think one's MI6 or whatever, and they sort of try to outdo each other. But I seem to remember.
Yes,
that's about all I remember.
Do you know the one you mean? And I forgot what it's called.
but it's funny you should mention Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy because I was just going to mention that myself and say how what a great proper that's a proper spy movie, isn't
yes.
it? That's like
it's a really
that's
good cast intrigue, as well. Isn't
it's
it?
A terrific cast. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
so it's hard to do, I think, a comedy spy film.
Was The Man from U.N.C.L.E. a comedy one?
I think it was had humour in it.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, because I...
Yeah, that's Army Hammer and...
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Kingsman.
Yes, Kingsman. See, they've sort of...
The second one, not so good.
They're more... Yeah, but they're more knowing, aren't they? They sort of had a nod towards the genre, and yet they do their own thing.
Yes.
I think this was... I just don't know what they were trying to do. I know it was like sort of like a role reversal, like it's women front and centre and they're the ones. But I think Melissa, you know, McCarthy did that in Spy and like the fish out of water type thing, you know, where these are people, so supposedly ordinary people, suddenly thrown into these extraordinary circumstances and they sort of the cutting edge of, you know, international special forces or whatever of you know the intelligence services, and to me it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
Okay, so you've both seen it. How many stars would you give it?
I'd give it a 2 because people were laughing in the cinema, so there obviously was there were laughs in it. And if it's your bag, if you like that sort of silly comedy, then I'm sure you would enjoy it. But for me, it just didn't work, and so I would give it a 2.
What did Gemma think?
I think she liked it.
She liked it.
Yeah, I think she found it quite funny, and she enjoyed it. And she liked Kate's character, whereas I just couldn't stand her. So I think she just quite identified with and thought, yeah, she was good. So people do like it. So I'm not going to say it's without merit at all, but it just wasn't really my bag. Which is an Austin Powers reference, though. Which I would say, yes, yeah, so I'd give it a 2.
Okay, and Sean.
Well, yeah, as I say, it had moments. I didn't really lot of plot holes like normally, so I'd probably have to agree with Sharon. It would be a 2. But if I was someone who enjoyed this sort of movie, it would probably go a 3, wouldn't it? A lot of people would give it a 3.
Yeah, I think you could push it to a 3.
Yeah, because
It's not badly made.
It's not a hateful movie, but just...
For me, it was a bit sweary.
Some of the gags were a bit blunt for, unnecessary, really.
Yeah.
And particularly on the... unnecessary.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back after the break.
Our island. Our Vectis Radio. FM 104.6.
Reading Roman Villa. More than just an award-winning museum. The eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Nikki's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Brading Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Brading Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
At The White Time, we specialise in new and refurbished watches, fitting watch straps, batteries, and undertake watch, clock, and jewellery repairs, including cleaning and mounting your treasured medals. We also take in electronic repairs to your PC or laptop. Windows upgrades too. Pat testing is available by appointment. Find The White Time at 24B Holyrood Street, Newport. For more details, find us on Facebook or call 530 484.
Have you ever experienced a light lunch or just a snack on a double-decker bus? Well, now you can at the Bus Stop Cafe, situated in Hollyhurst Park, Branstow, Sandown. We open 7 days a week where you can sit back and enjoy tea, coffee, a cold drink, sandwiches, light lunches, smoothies and shakes, and yummy, yummy cakes in this diverse setting. And there's free on-site parking. We cater for all occasions, birthdays, clubs, parties. Check out our feedback and customer reviews on Facebook. The Bus Stop Cafe, Hollyhurst Park, Brentstone, Sandown.
Four Peacocks offers 11 to 19 year olds and ages up to 25 with additionally the chance to become a part of radio. This course is free and you get to go live on Vectis Radio. And if you would like to be a part of this, contact Ian Mack at vectisradio.fm.
We are your Vectis Radio. FM 104.6.
Welcome back to Vectis Movies. So next we're going to be talking about Alpha.
Alpha, yeah. This was a film Sharon didn't get to see.
I wanted to see this and I did. I'm hoping it's going to be on for another week so I can probably catch it Saturday.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be interesting. Actually, it's quite some retrospective views are quite funny.
Yes, often it's quite interesting to sort of have someone else's opinion, then see it and then see if you agree or not.
Yeah.
So tell you what, Sharon, so I'm guessing you've seen the trailer.
I've seen the trailer, yes.
So from the trailer, what would you say the plot was?
Well, I would say it's a sort of A Million Years BC, but without the fur bikinis. So it's about this sort of, I don't think he's like a Neanderthal man, but he's like a, what's the term, Pro-Magnon man. So he's like an early man who basically has a fort. He encounters this dog or wolf, and he sort of forms this sort of bond with this sort of this wild animal, and it's almost like the first man and his dog type relationship. But they then sort of see them explore this the world as it's sort of evolving through the eyes of their relationship or in the context of their relationship, how they get to sort of befriend or know each other. And then that's what the impressions I got, that it was like this sort of early man, because there's been a few films about early man that I've seen. But, you know, for the life of me, I cannot think what they're called. Apart from Million Years BC.
Did you ever see a film called The Search for Fire or something like that, or The Quest for Fire? Maybe not.
No, it's not. The Clan of the Cave Bear.
Straight to video.
And there's one quite recently about a caveman. I think it was called sort of like Alf or something, but it was his name, and he was about an early man, or he was like the last of his kind, I think. He was like the last Neanderthal, and he meets, you know, sort of the next sort of...
The Croods is good.
The Croods is another,
I
yes.
But okay, so I wanted to ask that because sometimes the trailer can be quite misleading.
Yeah.
So, Sean, someone that's actually seen the film,
yeah,
how right was that?
Yeah, very, very close. No, but no cigar. Probably that was really, really close. But it is a little bit later than Cro-Magnon. This is more, obviously... they're a bit more advanced, a slightly more advanced race, more of a native culture. And the story goes that this is obviously, they go on a hunt very much like for buffalo, for meat and stuff like this. And they've, so this is a young man, you've got a young man who, the first half of the film really is him going through, you know, he's been accepted as a man. So you've got a big tribe of big butch blokes, and he's quite, you know, teenager, a couple of teenagers. They decide to go to find, you know, it's a time of year where they need to go and obviously do the hunting, gathering sort of thing. So they all sort of go off, and there's some nice landscape shots. So they're going through all the different types of landscape, and they've got these like monoliths, monuments that they've built that so they can follow their way back. And they get a tattoo. They get put a tattoo on the teenager's hands, and it's like the star maps. So they know which way to get back. So obviously, they go, and you've got the hunt. They find the buffalo, and they obviously smear themselves with things so they don't get seen. And one thing and another, and basically, this young lad gets sort of falls off the cliff type of thing, gets caught up, and they hang around for a bit, but then they decide that he's dead. So they like make a graveyard, and obviously, there's a massive, massive downpour, big flood, and the lad obviously wakes up and gets washed away and ends up, and then he gets chased by some wolves, but he manages to find a tree, and he manages to end it. He's made like some crude implements, and he's injured one of the wolves. Eventually the wolves go off, but he gets down, and instead of killing the wolf, he decides he's going to help it. So and then basically it's the journey with him, the wolf, and you know, the different adventures they go on, and so they've got to find their way back. And of course he's got the tattoo so he can find his stars, you know, but there's all sorts of animals. You've got your saber tooth and all sorts of strange things going on. So basically it's a you know, it's a journey. So but as I say, the first third of the film was I really, really enjoyed. But I think for me the journey back just seemed a little bit too long. You know, it just went on. I mean, I understand the reasons why, because they wanted the, you know, obviously the relationship to form between the wolf and the and eventually and there's some things. I mean, he's like, he goes through snow and he goes through heat and he goes through thirst, and it's how they sort of help each other, you know, help each other to survive.
Is there any speech in it, or is it one of those sort of like grunty
it's subtitled nodding? It's subtitled, so there's speeches, but it's okay. Subtitled. It is subtitled, so you know, I don't know if it is a foreign film, if it's like some Norwegian film or something like that. To me, it looked like, because the Northern Lights are in it and things, perhaps it was a, you know, made by something else. But that's basically the story. So it's this journey of this young lad and this wolf, and they make their way back.
Okay, so there's, again, a very long list of films that are sort of all about this kind of thing. So do you think this actually stands out as something completely different, or is it just sort of a different take on the same?
Like a coming-of-age type thing?
Yeah, I'd say it's slightly more than a coming-of-age film. I mean, obviously it does come of age, but it is more to do with the relationship between the wolf and the boy, you know, like who's going to be the more alpha, I guess, if you like, and like that mutual trust and mutual help. And obviously they sort of look out for each other, you know, and then when they get their way back, you know, it's sort of typical. It turns the wolf sort of almost turns into a dog. I mean, I don't know if that was just me being skeptical, but from the wolf that was injured to the wolf that ends up back at the village, it's gone through a sort of domestication, yeah, and almost looks like it's domesticated, you know. So we say it's like goes from there seems to be a major transition between the wolf and the dog. So whether they use different.
Would you say this film is a film more about the survival or about their bonding?
I would probably say both. Mm-hmm. I would probably say it is a survival story. It is a, you know, an adventure story, and it is a bonding story. So you've got all those factors. They're all there, but the bonding just goes on, and the journey goes on. For me personally, it goes on a little bit too long. They go through. I mean, obviously, they've gone to go through a lot of stuff. But for me, the journey to the hunt was really quick. And the journey back seems like forever.
took a lot longer.
It seemed like forever.
What was the recent Leonardo DiCaprio film? The one he won the Oscar for?
Revenant.
That was it. I knew it began with an R. Yeah. See, I kind of found that with that one as well, where it just eventually went on for way too long. they do get like that, don't they?
Some of them do, yeah. And it's like, enough torture, let's get him home.
But yeah. I mean, it's not too bad. And I mean, the very ending where you actually, you know, I won't give it away, but where, you know, there's like more dogs. But it's pretty
upset.
Much, yeah, I won't give it. So yeah, so it is, and it basically is a story of how, you know, we, you know, the dogs became man's best friend type of thing. You know, it's like the start of how it goes. Because, you know, I'd have thought with the wolf coming in, an injured wolf, you'd think they would have killed it because they've been so scared of it, but they obviously take it in and look after it. So,
okay, how many stars would you give this?
I would say probably a 3. Probably a 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is watchable in part. It's not like crossing my legs and thinking, oh, God.
Yeah. How long is this going on for?
It was just seemed the journey back just seemed a little bit too long. I did quite enjoy the tribe. I quite enjoyed the tribe, especially with like the monuments that they've made so they know how far they're going. And there's quite a nice scene where you see another tribe of men and you think, oh, this is going to be a bit of a fight. I won't say what happens, but Okay. And that, because I don't want to spoil it. there is a scene where two groups of men sort of meet up, obviously from different tribes.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So what sort of age and type of person would you say this one's aimed
well,
for?
Well, I think this could aim for anybody, really. I think any, you know, it's an interesting story. It's not a particular, well, I suppose it is a genre, but it's not, you know, anybody could watch this movie, really.
Because yeah, it's a 15, isn't it?
It is a 15.
Did it warrant a 15? Is it just because of the injury detail and stuff like that?
It probably would warrant a 15 because of that, you know, and the things that happen, like people that get killed along the way or whatever. So, yeah, so there is some, you know, and it could be quite frightening, I think, as well, with some of the animals, you know.
Yeah, and it does seem like a risk, though, with a film like this, doesn't it, not to have a very specific target audience.
Yeah, if it's subtitles, it's sort of quite a unusual sort of setting, as in period and things. So you're wondering, yeah, quite who they're aiming at. But it appealed to me because I quite like the odd quirky thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like the odd things that's slightly, you know, out there. I do quite like the
As I say, it's not, yeah, you know, it's a watchable movie.
So it's worth giving a chance.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Definitely. Yeah, it's worth watching. It I mean, and it'll be great when you go
yes,
to see it, Sharon, because
see
you
it.
Can give me your yeah. opinion, and you might say, do you know what, Sean, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's it, that happens it just sometimes. Flew by.
Yeah, it flew by.
Yeah, we'll have to go back on this one. Yeah.
But it's worth a watch, and I think you will enjoy it, Sharon.
Yes. Oh, so. I'll hope it's still out for another week. Well, yeah. I'll have a look.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on to a slightly different film, and that is Lewis the Alien and the Alien. And that's what I watched today, actually, with my four younger cousins.
Wow. Is that a cartoon?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Or should I say animation? Sorry, we can't use cartoon these days, can we?
No, not the proper cartoon.
No.
Yeah, so that's an animation, and it's about a young boy, and he doesn't really fit in. His mum passed away, and his dad is sort of wrapped up in himself. He doesn't really care, you know, he sleeps all of the time, but he's also really interested in science, and particularly looking out for aliens. And so when he's not asleep, he's looking for the aliens and doing all this sciencey stuff, and then he'll go back to sleep again. And his son feels so neglected, and at school he gets bullied and he's neglected, and then this woman turns up to say, look, we think you're neglected, we want to take you away from home and away from the school, put you in this special place. And, you know, she looks like Cruella de Vil and that sort of character. And then it's about him trying to change his dad within half an hour to make him sort of appreciate him and show that there's nothing wrong, but the house is a complete mess, it's completely run down, and the telescope in the roof has meant that half the house is open and all this. And then his neighbours, who are very, very fancy and have all this posh stuff, sort of go out, so he decides it's going to be a good idea to use their house.
Oh, right.
And then these aliens turn up, and his dad's so interested in sleeping that he completely misses these aliens, and so he befriends
them. Don't you
just
hate it when that happens?
Yeah, yeah,
well,
definitely, yeah.
It's always good to have a relatable film, yeah, isn't it? And yeah, so he kind of makes friends with these aliens, but then it turns out that they can almost shapeshift, and they can turn into humans by eating their hair. And then that leads them to all kinds of things.
Oh,
so
that's intriguing.
So yeah, aliens could walk among us, and we just won't know.
Yeah,
there's plenty of films
happen,
like that,
I reckon.
Yeah,
there's plenty of films like that. Have you ever seen? Now, have you ever seen a John Carpenter film called They Live?
No,
I know of it. But I probably have seen it. Is that the one with the wrestler, Randy? What's
yes,
his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. I
that's
think.
The one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a really, I think it's a great movie, because they find these glasses, which, you know,
yeah, you
all
can,
the signs, all the advert signs is you love money, you know, money is your god and all that. It's a really, really good movie, actually, if you get a chance. There's loads of stuff. So, I forget, you know, we're like seen loads and you know, it's. But anyway, sorry, back to the film. Yeah, is this like your, well, I call it like flat animation, or is it more like your Pixar-y sort of animation? What type of animation is that? I mean,
I feel like it's somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between, okay.
I don't know. It was a strange one for me. I mean, my cousins, they're all younger than me, and they all absolutely loved it. But it is just something slightly different. And for a while, I was kind of thinking, ooh, where am I standing with this?
Is it one of these animations, like, with songs and music? No, or is it just a straightforward story?
No, it did have some
Italian.
Very good songs, very good music. But there's no sort of... It's not musical.
Not musical. They burst into song.
No. But there's some very sort of interesting things they have in it. You know, the aliens decide that they're going to come to Earth for a product they've seen on a shopping channel.
Oh, wow.
And it's just little things like that. And so that is sort of references to pop culture and stuff, but it's nothing particular. And there's a very infuriating teenage boy that just sort of goes into this own language.
Okay.
And his parents are never quite understanding quite what he's on about. And so the aliens are then trying to pick up the personalities of the parents and him and the main character's father and all these other people and realising how different everyone is and that you can't get away with saying certain things as a different person.
Ah, that's quite interesting then. So it's quite... Yeah. So it does look at the human condition then.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's what I like. I do like me some depth to films.
So the aliens to start with, are they like bug-eyed aliens? Or
yes,
are they,
yeah. So, you know, all of them got their three eyes or one eyes or more and all that. So they're very adorable.
Oh, right.
Yes, they're your very typical childhood alien.
That's good. Yeah. I always think of aliens. I don't know. I know they're not aliens, but in the Toy Story thing, there's like those things that get grabbed.
That's what I was thinking watching it. One of them looks exactly like that, yeah. Just longer.
That's the picture I have of like, ooh, I've been chosen.
The noise they make is brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So that'd be interesting.
So the little ones, they enjoyed it. Would you say it was aimed at a certain age group? Would you say it was like middle school or primary school age?
Yeah, I would say it's aimed at the primary school age. Right. It's under the universal age. So my youngest cousin, she absolutely loved it.
Oh, good.
And my oldest young cousin, he's 14, and he enjoyed it as well, and that was quite nice, you know, because I'll watch a film because I like analysing things, but the fact that he was there and he enjoyed it as well, it's good
then, if you can have a mix across, a family could sort of happily go and take their sort of little ones to teens quite happily then to see it.
Yeah, because it's not like one that's been on the radar, is it?
I don't know anything about it.
No, I didn't know anything about it.
No, I only discovered it yesterday, and I was looking, and I was thinking, oh, I better watch something. And then I saw that, and we were actually the only ones in the screening.
Really?
So we had the whole cinema to ourselves. So
I've had that before.
Exciting.
It's quite fun.
I love that. That's so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Except for the deluxe. Don't ever be the only one in the deluxe.
That's
creepy.
That's my favourite, yeah. I went to see a horror film there once.
Oh,
were you the only one in there?
I was the only one in there, and I sat in the middle. But, I mean, I'm not really bothered with horror films. And it was
only one in there.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, this will be interesting. But
I didn't watch a horror film, and I felt creeped out just by being in there on my own. Because you've got that sort of vestibule area, and you could hear sort of distant sounds, and it just felt really... I just felt quite creeped out by it.
Mm.
So, yeah, don't go to the deluxe on your own.
I remember walking into the cinema already and the trailers were showing, and it was obviously a horrible trailer, and you've got that sort of 45 degrees and all of a sudden there was this woman that was sat really by, and I turned up and she literally jumped out of her seat. I must have really, because there was a horror film trailer showing, and she just went, ah! That's great. I didn't mean to, but, you know.
I'm sure you did. I know you are.
possibly. But another thing about when there's not many people in the cinema... I go with my mate, and we've been lucky on a couple of occasions that it's just been the two of us.
Mm.
And generally,
then you
can
critique when as you go, can't
and
you?
We're like one of the best. I know it's really bad to talk during a movie, but one of the best nights I ever had was the two of us sat watching a movie and just heckling the hell out of it and just being in hysterics. And yet it was supposed to be. And that film, do you want to know what that film was?
Yeah, go on. Yeah. What was that one?
It was A Woman in Black 2. So, yeah, but we just totally heckled it all the way. And the trouble is now, if we go watch a horror movie, we tend to want to heckle it, but there's other people in there, so we don't, you know, we just sort of, you know, snig or whatever.
But it was nice with my...
Don't go up the stairs without a light.
It was nice in this one, though, having
the cousins,
younger age.
Your cousins liked it.
Because, you know, they're at the age where they want to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And they want to share their excitement and all that. And I had my youngest cousin sat next to me, and she turned to me and said, "Isn't this funny? This is so funny. And really enjoying this." And so to actually hear
that's quite nice,
excited,
isn't it? Because when they're young, they don't often understand cinema etiquette often.
No.
And so they want to sort of go, and then they respond to what they're seeing. And so it's quite nice if they've got the freedom to do that.
Yeah, and I think as well, because, you know, if you're someone that's quite anxious or, you know, don't like the attention or anything, it makes you not want to laugh or react to things.
Yes.
So having a whole space to yourself, it's, you can completely immerse yourself in this film.
And oh, well, that sounds quite fun, then.
What screen was it? Just that?
Six.
Screen six. So one of the smaller ones.
It was small, but...
Yeah, I've been in one of those on my own. I quite enjoyed that. It felt like a private cinema.
Yeah. Mm.
But, yeah, you feel quite fancy, don't you?
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is my own private viewing. Yeah, that's good.
Upset you don't get cheap drinks, though.
No, they don't. Yeah, it's such a shame.
So if you've got a bunch of kids, it costs you a fortune, wouldn't it?
Oh, all the, God, yeah, it does.
Sodas
can
and,
do. Yes, if you want to keep them fed and watered.
Yes. I mean, just the tickets alone.
Yes.
Atrocious.
Even with family tickets, it's going to still be a proper expedition to take you all out. What would you give it then? Would you give a star rating?
Well, I asked my cousins because I thought, you know, their opinion would be
democratic.
Very important, and each of them shouted 5.
Wow.
So we've got a 5 from all of them. I would probably give it maybe a 4.
Okay.
I think there was a little bit room where there were parts slightly flatter. Maybe they could have put a little bit more in it. And I think at times the younger ones didn't quite get some of the jokes or the facial expressions or nods towards things. So I think they could have done a little bit more, but I did thoroughly enjoy it.
So 4 from them, a 5 from them and a 4 from you. That's a good rating.
It is a very,
yeah,
very
for a film that I've never really heard
of.
You know, you hear of all your Toy Stories and things, but you
know, I know, and it's a shame.
So just go
on
the radar.
So that's Lewis and the Alien.
Cool.
So we'll be right back after the break.
Radio with the community at heart. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. The White Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721 943.
Have you looked at your carpets lately? Whatever the problems with your carpets, curtains or upholstery, you need ChemDry first. Do your settees look worse for wear? Have you got stains on your chairs? No matter what the material, be it leather, cotton or silk, ChemDry first have the tools, training and experience to ensure they look their best. Call 295 518 or go to chemdryfirst.co.uk. That number again is 295 518.
Do you get annoyed with computerised call centres with multiple options, traffic congestion at Coppins Bridge, or perhaps your kids and family on the internet all the time? Well, it sounds like you need to relax and unwind with your family around Treble B's unique island handmade braziers with integral barbecue or fire pit. Order now. Call Neil at Treble B on 0770 331 773 or email trebleb.iow@gmail.com. A product for all seasons.
People have been asking about Hair Bear's all-new record fair.
Can I get an update on my stocks and shares?
No, it's all about the music.
Can I find out when to plant my seedlings?
No, it's all about the music.
Can I hear a debate about the state of the economy in Venezuela?
No, it's all about the music.
Can I hear the best music of the last 50 years in a 3-hour selection of classic tracks?
No, it's... Yeah, no, actually, yes, you can. That's what it's all about. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 10 p.m. Vectis Radio 104.6 FM for Hair Bear's Record Fair. It's all about the music.
Vectis Radio FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities.
This is what makes us your local station. VectusRadio.com.
Welcome back to Vectus Movies. So we've now actually hopefully got Tozin. Hello, Tozin.
Hey, Tozin. Are you there?
Okay, so we've actually sort of swapped Tozin with Sharon. We didn't actually kick her out. That sounds really mean. She actually had to go.
Okay. Yeah, she got a tap on the shoulder. She was, I'm sorry, Miss Bolland, but this isn't working out.
Yeah, you know, just causing too much trouble here in the studio.
Maybe see you outside.
Yeah, she can be a bit of a handful sometimes.
Oh, you know what she's like.
Would you not? It's like they're tapping on the shoulder, going, "We do not appreciate your review of The Spy Who Dumped Me."
Yeah, I wanted it more positive, you know.
I think her mate Gemma enjoyed it, and as I say, it was it was okay.
Yeah, but the truth is that you guys said pretty much what I was thinking that I was thinking the film would be. Yeah. I was thinking, it's not going to be as good as Spy, which I thought was a brilliant film.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed Spy. I didn't mind Spy.
Spy was actually genuinely funny, and and also I tried texting you guys while you guys are trying to figure it out. The film you were thinking about with Tom Hardy, Chris Pine, and Reese Witherspoon is This Means War.
This Means War. That's it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
that's what you were thinking about.
That's the one I was thinking about. Yeah. That was okay as well, but I don't remember it that well, so I obviously couldn't have enjoyed it that much. Yeah, but it's good to hear from you. So have you been up to exciting things?
Well, let's see. In the last time since I've seen you guys, I have been within 100 yards of Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh.
I've been within 100 yards of Chris Hemsworth, and I'm pretty sure I made eye contact with Liam Neeson.
Oh, ooh, that's intriguing. That's really
intriguing. I'm so jealous.
So that's what I've been up to for a while. Today, unfortunately, I couldn't be there because I was on a job in London. Filming in some really really nice house, like stupidly nice house, the kind of house that makes you feel like, you know, I need to work harder and earn more money.
Life is worthless.
Not Winchester, then.
No, I'm pretty sure that there's places in Winchester like that that would make you think, you know what? I mean, there's places on the island that I've been in that have made me think, I need to work harder and earn more money.
You wouldn't want to live in a posh house like that.
Unless it had a cinema.
You could do. You would too, yeah?
Oh, if it had a cinema room, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, do you know... That is something that would just be, I would actually...
That's the goal in life, you know, I think.
To have your own little private cinema, little shed down the back. Yeah.
Okay, so this week you have both seen Equalizer 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Tozin, would you like to start us off?
Okay, so the Equalizer 2, I mean, spoiler, it's a sequel.
Wait, really?
It's a sequel. So this is it's a sequel to the Denzel Washington movie, The Equalizer, which was based on the TV series, which I think starred Edward Woodward. I think Sean, you can confirm it was Edward Woodward.
It was Edward Woodward. Yes, it was indeed.
It was an eighties TV show, wasn't it?
Yeah. If there's no one else to help you. There is the Equalizer. Yeah, it wasn't, I didn't see every episode, but I watched a couple, and there were a couple of good episodes in there. But he's not so much as a action man as in the movies, but he's very, very subtle.
Yeah, because it seems like the TV show was kind of like a one-man A-team or something, where he would go around and he would help people. So the whole idea of Equalizer was... You have people who take advantage of other people, and he equalizes it by helping the people who can't really help themselves.
That's it, exactly, yeah.
So, in the first film, I remember it was released in the same week as John Wick, the Keanu Reeves action movie, and I think a lot of people went, oh my god, John Wick! Because it was also like kinetic action and flipping over things and Keanu Reeves being really stern and stern at people. I think the Equalizer was a bit more gritty. It was a bit more almost kind of like a 70s action thriller updated.
Yeah, it was a good movie actually. I enjoyed the
I quite liked
Equalizer.
It. Yeah, apart from the fact that he was a CIA operative, I think in some ways it was the closest things we'd had to a death wish.
Yeah.
Like an actual proper death wish in the spirit of that. So it's kind of like, it's quite violent. The violence in it was quite graphic. It wasn't, it's weird. I wouldn't say it was gory, but it was graphic.
Yeah.
Like, you were left, it's not like you saw loads of blood, but you just knew, oh, he just broke that guy's arm.
Yeah, yeah. It was very measured, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, so it's all centered around this Denzel Washington performance. So in this second one, the action has moved from wherever it was before to Boston, and he's now acting as a Lyft driver, which is kind of like an Uber service. So he's essentially driving people around, and you get to see a little bit at the beginning where he's carried on his whole thing of seeing the all strokes of society, from old people to young people, people who are taking advantage of other people, and he's walking around and he's evening things out. And this film, I quite enjoyed this film. I thought it was quite good fun. Some bits of it are kind of like, okay, cool, yeah, that's just usual action movie hokum. But I quite liked the way he would go around, like, you know, the sort of microcosm of society that it was showing. And you can see that the film was, even though it's trying to be an action movie in which this guy just kills a whole bunch of people, it's still trying to say something about society, and it's still trying to say something about helping people out and why you should do that. But then they add in this whole storyline about the EU, and something happens in Brussels, and it comes in, and then it's one of these films where the second the bad guy shows up on screen, you're like, oh, that's the bad guy.
No, that's it. It was, you just knew, didn't you? You knew, like, you knew right from the very beginning. You thought, do you know like, what? I mean, I picked that up straight away, Toes, and I thought, yo, come on.
It's like that. I think number one, the guy who they cast as a bad guy, I'm not going to say who it was, but he plays a very similar role, which has almost exactly the same character arc in a film that was released last year that you have already, that you've mentioned on this show already. So the second that he shows up, and even when you look at all the action movie tropes, you know, oh, that's obviously the bad guy.
Yeah, you do straight away.
But they try and do the whole thing where it's like, ooh, nobody knows who this person is. You're like, it's him.
It is totally him. You just know
it. It's funny that there's some tropes that this film just sort of blunders into. Number one, really, really obvious bad guy from first scene that the guy shows up in. And they could almost sell, like I said, the Equalizer 2. This time it's personal.
They could have done that.
But I thought, like, for what it was, it's a serviceable action thriller. I quite liked the final sort of confrontation scene, because the first one had the final confrontation scene in what is essentially the American equivalent of a B&Q. And this one, it has it in the middle of a storm that's coming into, like, a coastal town. And I think they used that quite well, even though it's a bit kind of like, why would you go there? Why would you go into a storm? Why would you? Then you go, oh, I know why. It's a movie. Obviously, that's where you're going to go.
Actually, Toden, it's quite because I really, really didn't like it. I thought, what on earth is happening here? And when the bad guys go across the bridge and do a certain thing, I'm like, nah, you just wouldn't. They wouldn't. It just wouldn't happen. It's just that totally. For me personally, I have to. From that scene, from that last scene, that last action scene, where it takes place and everything, I absolutely hated. I really, really did not like that at all. I just like, nah, come on. You're not going to do that. There's going to be more subtle than that. I loved the first film because of the subtlety. This had no subtlety whatsoever. You just knew. And I mean, all that time, he's calculated, he's measured, he does his timings, which is great in the first film. And there was a little bit in this, but not half as much. But I do have to say, the opening scene on the train.
Oh yes, the bit on the train. Fun. That is really good. That is very good.
So that was pretty good. But I don't know. It's just sort of, it was so much. It was like a different film to me. It wasn't an Equalizer movie like the first one, because it was just let's just try the same tropes. Let's try the same cliches. We'll have a load of action. I'm sure the bad guys would be much more professional than what they did.
That is a bit of a problem with the film, because it kind of sets up the whole idea of the bad guys in this film are supposed to be as equally trained as the Denzel Washington character, the McCall. But he gets towards the end. But the thing is, I kind of figured that that was going to happen, that they were going to be, well, he's going to kill them all really easily, and they're going to really do stupid, stupid things. That I'm not a trained military person, but I'm going to be like, why would you do that? It's like, even with the final battle that takes place in a storm.
Yeah.
And there's bits of me that are thinking, why don't you just wait for the storm to be over? He's still going to be there.
Of course. That's it. I mean, the first film, if we go back to the first film, I mean, the action sequences in that were really measured, really, you know, because it wasn't so much of a... I suppose there was a little bit of a shootout in the supermarket, but it was more controlled, whereas this, to me, was just a mishmash of everything you've seen before, and, you know, and I just, as I say, it just really annoyed me when it would be so much easier for a bunch of bad guys to do it in a totally different way than the way they did. And as I say, and when, you know, when they're going across the bridge, what happens there, I'm like, well... that would cause all sorts of repercussions.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. They're driving towards the bridge, I'm thinking, okay, don't do this because that would just make this film stupider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they do it, and I'm like, oh, that's just stupid.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. It was...
No, I totally agree with you. And somebody said something about the film that one of the things about The Equalizer was that he was like a low-level action hero. So it wasn't about conspiracies and about governments and about CIA or anything like that. It was about the first one. I want to help this young girl is getting trafficked. I want to help. I want to get out of the streets.
Yeah, that's it.
I feel like there's bits in this film that sort of talk about that area of him, like where he's going and he's helping people who are being abused by rich, powerful people or stuff like that. And I think the film's a lot more effective in those bits.
Yes, those bits. Yeah, I know the bits you're talking about. Because that's what he would do. The small guy in this, it was bigger guys, wasn't it? Conspiracy theories, which to me, he would be more... I mean, like with the first thing when you see him in the Uber cab, when he's driving the Uber cab, you know, the chap in the cab there and all that sort of thing. That's the type of thing... So it just got a bit
I feel like a bit like they thought, oh, we've got to make it bigger, so they bring in this whole thing and they come up with this and they end up killing a character that's just totally unnecessary, and I think it's unnecessary, I think it's brutal, and it doesn't... There's a thing called fridging in Hollywood, which is where they kill a female character just so a male character has something to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Or has a reason to go do something. I feel like this film just blenders right into that, and I'm like, oh, come on, guys!
I'm like,
please! I mean, and so that bit, I found it really hard to look past that bit. But after that, I was like, okay, cool. It's a serviceable action thriller. There's stupid things in it. It would be better if they kept the focus a bit small and more focused like in the first one. But it's still enjoyable. It's still enjoyable. I would give it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, okay. I could probably stretch to a 3. I think stretch. Yeah, I could probably stretch to a 3 because it wasn't like I hated the movie, but I just had some issues with it. But that aside, I wouldn't really call it an Equalizer film. I would just call it like some sort of action film, like
generic action film number 557.
Yeah, that's it, like number 57 or Battle in the Hurricane or whatever, you know, that type of thing. So the end let it down. But I agree with you. There were some bits with the smaller people that I thought, that's how it should have stopped.
So you've got slightly similar kind of feelings towards this film, but can you both sum up this film, the plot of it, in about 5 words?
I'll let Tozen go first. Think on that.
In about 5 words.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-CIA agent seeks revenge. Full stop.
Okay.
And then that said it all.
Yeah. just a mixture of noises, maybe, just, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. Could have been more subtle.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do.
Yeah, put those two together. Put those two together and you have a pretty good reflection of the film. Denzel Washington is brilliant as always.
Yes.
But there's other problems.
Okay, that's a pretty honest review there. So before we finish tonight, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the films that are due to come out for the rest of this year. So first of all, we've got The Nun due out on the 7th of September, and I think you saw the trailer for this, didn't you?
I saw the trailer for The Nun, yeah.
You've been a bit excited, I think, haven't you, about...
Have I?
I don't know.
I'm not really... I mean, I've yet to see a creepy film that really, really scares me. Although, to be fair... I did see a trailer. I don't know if it might have been for The Nun, but it was, and it did make me have a little jump. And I was whoa.
There you go.
Wow. That was in the trailer.
They did well with that one.
They did do well with that one. I can't remember what the trailer was. But I remember I did do a jump. There is a film that I saw a trailer for. I probably won't see it. A Kevin Hart film called Night School. I guess, would that be your sort of film that you'd see, Toes?
Probably not, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, that's all right then.
It looks massively generic.
It does. It does, really. That was my thoughts, exactly. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So yeah. I'll just run through a few more. So we've got The Predator due out on the 13th of September.
I should watch it. I've got no major expectations, though.
We got Venom, 5th of October.
Yeah,
that's Tom Hardy.
Watch that.
I'll watch that
Tom
one,
Hardy.
I think.
I have massively negative expectations of that film.
And just quickly, before time runs out, we've got Halloween due 19th of October, Bohemian Rhapsody 24th of October, Fantastic Beasts on the 16th of November, and Wreck-It Ralph 2, 30th November, and Aquaman.
Definitely Wreck-It Ralph for me. That's going to be I really, really love the first one.
Okay.
Yep, same here.
Well, there we go. And that is about all we've got time for. So it's a goodbye from me.
Yep, goodbye from me.
And goodbye.
Brian's here. Here we go.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Vectis Radio.